بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, we are all still reeling from the pain, the shock, the anguish of the atrocities that were carried out against the people of Palestine in general and the people of Gaza in particular. We are naturally grieved by the loss of life, and we are legitimately angered at the barbaric acts of terrorism that was carried out by the illegitimate state of Israel against a weak sector of the Ummah, a defenseless and powerless part of the Ummah, and those are our people in Palestine and particularly in the land of Gaza. Now, a ceasefire came into effect, Alhamdulillah, but the hostility, the harassment, and the acts of terrorism continue. That is ongoing. The illegal evictions, the illegal occupation of Palestinian land, that is an ongoing crisis that the Muslims in that part of the world are facing. So our support and our du'as and our reaction and our responses that are in line with the Sharia should continue as well. The airstrikes, the bombing, the attacks, these were just an escalation of what happens there all the time. The hostility continues and the harassment is ongoing, as we see and as we hear on an ongoing basis, even though a ceasefire was brokered and a ceasefire came into effect. Brothers, the events that we see unfolding in different parts of the world, the suffering that the Ummah is facing, whether it is in the land of Palestine, the land of Sham, the land of Kashmir, wherever it may be, the Uyghur Muslim community in the Xinjiang province of China, Muslims in different parts of Africa. These are events that perhaps begs the question, or sometimes it makes us think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, wal'iyad billah, Allah forbid, abandoned the Ummah. And the unfolding events and what we see ongoing in different parts of the world should never cause us to fall into a state of despair, to fall into a state of agitation, to fall into a state of despondency, and to help us understand what the Ummah is experiencing. Every now and again, the Ummah in different parts around the world are undergoing the most difficult of tests, trials and tribulations. But as Muslims, the Ummah has never resorted to despondency. And the Ummah has never resorted to loss of hope. And we have never fallen as an Ummah into a state of agitation. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never allowed that to happen, regardless of how difficult the situation was for the believers in Makkah al-Mukarramah and whenever else they experienced any difficulty. So to help us understand this, that why is it, and people ask the question, that the Ummah faces what it faces, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has summed it up for us in a beautiful hadith that helps us understand what we are witnessing and what the Ummah is experiencing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, Ummati hadihi ummatun marhuma. Number one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, never fall into this deception, and never fall into this type of a thought and assumption that Allah has abandoned the Ummah. Ummati hadihi ummatun marhuma. This Ummah of mine is at the center of Allah's rahmah. It is at the center of Allah's divine providence and divine grace. Allah's rahmah will never leave this ummah. This ummah is ummatul marhumah. We are the special ummah in the sight of Allah. Allah loves this ummah. Allah will honor this ummah as He has honored the ummah in the past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a very special spot and place for this ummah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has declared that and he has said it. And the opposite of ummatul marhumah is maghdub alayhim. The direct opposite of ummatul marhumah, an ummah that enjoys divine providence, grace and rahmah from Allah, is maghdub alayhim, an ummah, a people, a community that has earned the wrath and the anger of Allah, referring to the Jews. Now how do we understand this? If we are at the center of Allah's kindness, Allah's love and compassion, Allah's mercy, then why does the ummah suffer? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answers that for us. He says, لَيْسَ عَلَيْهَا عَذَابٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ This ummah of mine will not suffer azab in akhirah. Meaning as an ummah, this entire ummah will not be taken and cast into the fire of Jahannam. Not my ummah. And if any ummati has to go to Jahannam for whatever reason, that ummati will never remain in Jahannam. لَيْسَ عَلَيْهَا عَذَابٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ That is how Allah has expressed His mercy, love and kindness for this ummah, that in akhirah, my ummah, as an entire ummah, will not suffer unfavorable circumstances and unfavorable conditions. عَذَابُهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, my ummah will suffer in the dunya. It will suffer. What are the forms of suffering? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-zalazil, there will be natural disasters. Al-fitan, there will be tests and trials. Wal-qatl, and my ummah will be killed." So when we value, or when we determine, or try and understand and measure the value of this ummah, we should never ever use worldly gain and worldly success as a barometer to measure the worth and value of this ummah. The ummah is worthless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never determine, Allah will never measure, Allah will never gauge the value and this worth of the ummah by material success and worldly progress. So let us not be deceived by thinking that the ummah is suffering in terms of worldly losses. We are suffering in terms of material things. There seems to be no progress. But that should not bother us, because our value is determined by our success in akhirah. That is true worth. And that is the true value. And that's what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wishes to explain in this hadith. When you understand it that way, you realize that we have been created for akhirah. Not to say, and I do not advocate that we should not progress in terms of our worldly achievements and worldly sciences and material things. We may progress as much as we can. There's no harm in that. But our value is not determined by that. Our worth as an ummah is not determined by that. Our success as an ummah is not determined by worldly success. Our failure as an ummah is not determined by worldly failure. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that this ummah of mine will get its fair share of suffering in this dunya. And it will face tests and trials and tribulations. Why? Because it is at the center of Allah's divine mercy, love and compassion. Because Allah has reserved akhirah for my ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us how to deal with these types of situations. On a personal level as well, as an individual, if I suffer a loss, I'm experiencing a calamity, I'm going through a very difficult time in my life, whatever the loss may be, whatever the challenge may be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with a very powerful mechanism that saves redundancy and saves us from falling into a state of agitation. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this ummah as believers. That mechanism is known as al-ridha. Al-ridha. What is al-ridha? Al-ridha can be translated as satisfaction. Al-ridha could mean happiness. Al-ridha could mean acceptance. Al-ridha is serene, tranquil acceptance of the will of Allah. That's what al-ridha is. At the depth of your being, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the loss, regardless of what suffering, at the depth of your being, there is serene, tranquil acceptance of the will of Allah. That helps you and saves you from falling into a state of agitation and depression and despondency. Now, al-ridha does not mean you become a lifeless robot and you accept the oppression or you accept the injustice and you accept the tyranny that is perpetrated against you. That's not al-ridha. There must be a reaction. There must be a response. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, and he has encouraged the ummah, إِذَا اشْتَكَى مِنْهُ عُضْوٌ تَدَاعَ لَهُ سَائِرُ جَسَدٍ. When one part of the ummah suffers, then there's a natural reaction. When one part of the body suffers, there's a natural reaction. Whether you want there to be a reaction or not from the other part of the body naturally reacts. We should not be called, and we should not be told, and we should not be advised to react. The situation is such that when there is a calamity, there should not be made an appeal to the people to react. It should be a natural reaction like the body. It's a natural reaction. Every other part of the body reacts without being called on to react, without being asked to react. So tada'ala, so there must be a reaction. But that outward reaction must be met with an inner sense of tranquil, serene acceptance of the will of Allah. That is ridha. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us beautifully, practically, on more than one occasion, he has taught us ridha. On the occasion when he lost his son Ibrahim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam held his son in his hand, and there was a reaction, a natural reaction. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Inna al-'ayna latadma' wa inna al-qalba layahzan. The eye tears, O Ibrahim, the eye tears over you. That's the reaction. That's an outward reaction. Wa inna heart is saddened at your loss. Wa inna ala firaqika lamahzunun. O Ibrahim, we grieve your loss. Walakin la naqulu illa ma yurdi rabbana. But we'll only utter that which makes Allah happy. That's ridha. There was a reaction. And this is such a powerful mechanism that helps us deal with every unpleasant situation in our lives. And that helps us from falling into a state of depression, despondency, and a state of agitation. We surrender to the will of Allah. With the reaction, there is this acceptance that this is the will and the command of Allah. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was migrating to Al-Madinah to Munawwarah, we know the famous incident. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu became concerned while they were in the cave, and they were taking refuge in the cave, and he expressed his concern to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was fear. He was afraid. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Don't be sad. Allah is with us. We are part of Allah's plan. What is happening in the different parts of the ummah, the people of Gaza, may Allah make it easy for them, the people of Gaza, they are part of Allah's plan. The Chinese, the Uyghur Muslims in China, they are part of Allah's plan. The Muslims in Kashmir are part of Allah's plan. The Muslims in Sham, they are all part of Allah's plan. Inna Allah ma'ana. We are part of Allah's plan. And if we do not understand Allah's plan, then so what? We are human beings with minds that have very limited ability. It is beyond our understanding. But we are part of Allah's plan. On the occasion of Uhud, when the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when they had suffered losses. Again, brothers, the message is that we should never determine, engage the value of this ummah by material gain. Don't ever do that. Or by military might, military power, technological advancement. All of that, as I said, we should advance as much as we can, and we should progress in, as much as we can in terms of material things and worldly things, so long as it does not distract us from our objective of life. But we don't ever determine, engage our value by that, because the dunya is worthless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for akhirah. Inna hadhihi ummatun marhumah. We are the center of Allah's divine love, providence and grace. The battle of Uhud, we know there was much suffering and there was much loss on the occasion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the sahaba, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't be sad. Don't become weak. Don't lose courage. Do not fall into a state of despair. Do not fall into a state of, you are the highest ummah. And we believe in that. And we accept that. And the important thing for us is to contribute towards becoming one ummah. It's time for solidarity in purpose. It's time for collectivism in objective. Let us not undermine the efforts of one another. Let us start off with dua. Dua is so powerful, brothers. Sometimes people ask, what you saying? Dua, 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 dua. أَتَهْزَأُ بِالدُّعَاءِ وَتَزْدَرِيهِ وَمَا تَدْرِي بِمَا صَنَعَ الدُّعَاءُ سِهَامُ اللَّيْلِ لَا تُخْطِي وَلَكِنْ لَهَا أَمَدٌ وَلِلْأَمَدِ إِنْقِضَاءُ. Imam al-Shafi'i. By the way, Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah was born in Gaza. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, the great faqih and scholar, he was born in the land of Gaza, in that very same region. What did he say? He says, do you mock dua? And do you poke fun at dua? And you do you underestimate the power of dua? You have no idea what dua can do. You make the dua. Perhaps through that dua, Allah allows it in that part of the world. Perhaps that dua, through that dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides shelter for a child who has lost his home. Perhaps through that dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clothes an unclothed person suffering in one part of the ummah. You do not have to know the outcome of the dua. You make the dua. The outcome of the dua, that is up to Allah. But the dua certainly and most definitely has an impact on others suffering in different parts of the world. So we don't give up with the dua. We don't stop our contributions. And we don't give up on whatever form of support we have been giving the people during the raids and during the attack on the people of Gaza. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alleviate the sufferings of the Muslim ummah wherever they may be suffering. And we ask Allah to make us part of His plan and use us to alleviate the sufferings of the ummah and for others, whether it is within our own families, within our own country, or beyond the borders of this country. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدِ اللَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ